Today's Shir is Masechet Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Samech Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach on Daf Kuf Samech Ches on the Bay, 6 lines from the bottom. Tara Abaron, Harei Shaba, if a Malva appears in front of Bezdev Omar, and he says, Ovad Shtar Chovi, I have lost the star that says somebody owes me money. Afapish Amru Edom, even if the Edom say, Anu Kasavnu, we wrote the shtar that he claims that he lost. V'chasavnu, and we have signed that shtar. V'nasanu loy, and based on the instruction of the loiva, we had the shtar given to the malva. Still the halacha is that ein chosrim loy is a shtar, we don't write him a new shtar. And as the Rishonim point out, because we need to be concerned that maybe the shtar has already been paid back. Now, point out all the Rishonim, that even though we have a rule throughout Shas, Chazokah, that there's a fair assumption, Ein Adam Pereya Choyvei Toichs Manoi, that people don't pay up their debts before they're due. So over here, why, if it's before the due date, why would we assume that the debt was paid up? So explains the Ritva, that indeed, under normal circumstances, we have no reason to believe that a debt was paid up. People don't pay up their debt earlier. Here, however, there's a very unique situation. There's a reisa, there's something that is wrong, because the shtar is lost. And therefore, under these circumstances, everything changes. However, interestingly enough to note that the Ravid has a different approach to this Gemara, and the Ravid's approach to this Gemara is that this Gemara is only referring to a situation where the shtar was, where it's after the due date. But indeed, if it were before the due date, the halachas that we're learning, that we don't replace the shtar, may not be the case, and maybe we would replace the shtar. Continues the Gemara. When was this halacha said? We have to be concerned, because we have to be concerned, as we just finished explaining, that maybe the debt was already paid up. The malva, as the halacha tells us always, gives back the shtar to the loiva after the debt is paid up. And that's why this whole story is not true, that the shtar was never lost. And that's why, because of that concern, we won't write a replacement shtar. Av shtar mekach memkar. But when we speak about documents that reflect a sale, says the Gemara Kaisen, we do rewrite the shtar. So, of course, ask the Rashbam, as we learned and will learn, the halacha is that by shtar choy, we have to be worried about the lekuchas. And here, by rewriting the shtar, we put the lekuchas, the people who bought properties, and there's recourse from the malva to those people at risk, which we don't want to do. So ask the Rashbam, why don't we just write a replacement shtar, but in that replacement shtar, don't put in an achrayis, or write explicitly that this goes without achrayis. So explains the Rashbam, as we learned, the concern is not just that the lekuchas will be hurt improperly. The concern is that the loiva also may be hurt improperly, with the malvis claiming that he wasn't repaid, and the loiva says that he was repaid. But, says the Gemara, even though we just learned that we rewrite the shtar mekach, chutz min achrayi shaba, any clause that gives recourse to the lekuchas, that we don't include in a rewritten shtar mekach memkar. And says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel, however, is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that af shtari mekach memkar, even when it's a sale document, en kaisen, we don't rewrite the shtar. The Rashbam points out, and the way that we should point out, that when we speak about a shtar mekach memkar, there are two parts to shtar mekach memkar, to a document of sale. One is the it's a proof, it's a deed. And number two, it is what causes the transaction to happen. So by avoiding writing the achrayus, anything that can happen improper because of that is avoided. But since we want this person that bought the property to have a deed in his possession that he bought the property, so therefore, for that purpose, we do rewrite the shtar mekach. The Keter of Shimon ben Gamliel Omer continues the Gemara, and so is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Hanoisa matana l'chaveroi, if somebody gives a gift to someone else, v'chseloi es hashtar, and then the person who received the get gives back the shtar. So there was no formal transaction in him giving back the property that he received as a gift, other than just giving back the shtar. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, chazer matanasoi, that's enough to make as if there's a new transaction, meaning that the person who gave the gift and now gave the gift to me, by me with a shtar matana, by me giving it back to him, it becomes his. The Chachamim say just returning a shtar matana is not considered a valid transaction, and therefore matanasa kayemis is still considered my property until I do a formal transaction, a formal kinyan of giving it back to him. So the Gemara goes back to analyze this brisa. Amamar, we've learned that if somebody claims that he lost a shtar mekach umemkar, the halacha is we rewrite it. Chutz mechray sheba. Anybody who has any shibud, that if we're going to go after the assets of the person who bought it, we're going to take the property away from him. That is not included. In other words, that if this property is taken from me, the buyer, and I have recourse now to the seller's other buyers, that is not included. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why is that not included? Says the Gemara, Amar of Safran, Lafi, because we need to be concerned that when they're saying that the document was lost, it really wasn't lost. And therefore, because of that, says Rav Safra, the Halacha teaches us, Ein kos mishtei shnoris al sod achas. We never write two documents for the same property, for we need to concern. Dima oza bal chayv, the person who has a claim against the seller. Knows the property was sold by somebody to me, but there's somebody who says that the seller owes him money, and the seller doesn't pay him, so he goes after this property. The tarif lelahai, he's going to take this property away from the person who bought it, because the seller doesn't have any other money with which to pay off his debt. Now, the seller has to pay to the buyer the value of the property that was taken away from him. So, the buyer who goes to the person whom he bought this property from, who now lost his property to a Baal Chayv, if the seller doesn't have the ability to pay him back for his lost property, he goes to other lekuchas, shekanu, that they bought properties after he bought his property. So now, if they're going to be, says the Gemara, two documents on this property, why should we not be concerned that this person who bought the property is going to collude with the Baal Chayv? And this is what they're going to do. Ozel Hai, the Lekeach is going to now go, Umapichad, he's going to take out one of the documents that he has, the Tarif Lekuchas, and he's going to collect from the people who bought property after he bought property, that he has a right to go to them, since the seller does not have the ability to reimburse him for the property that he had to give up. So he's going to go to other lekuchas to collect what's owed to him, and indeed, they're going to rip up the shtar. Amalei, and in order to do something illegal or improper, what he's going to do is this person is going to tell the Baal Chayiv that took the property from him, shoifli, that even though you're entitled to take this property, shoifli, they can buy. Let me remain on this property for a number of years until it's forgotten that I collected or I had from the other Lekuchas because I supposedly lost this property. And then in a couple of years, instead of doing this now, you'll come again to collect the property from me because you'll say that the person who sold me the property owed you money, never paid you, and therefore you have a recourse after my property. And now I'll do this again. I'll take out the second shtar mekach that I have on this property, and I'm going to go to other lekuchas. So if this lekeach has more than one property, if this lekeach has more than one shtar, this could happen. The way to avoid this is that even if we're going to give him a second shtar based on his claim that he lost the first shtar, this elaborate game that he may try to play won't work. And the reason it won't work is because he won't have recourse to any of the lekuchas anyway, because the second shtar, even though he has a second shtar, it doesn't include in it the right to go after lekuchas. So the Rishonim ask a question. If there are people who bought property after this buyer of the property, and there's a concern that this person who bought this property is going to collude, as the Gemara just explained, with the Baal Chayiv, but why would the Baal Chayiv be able to go after his property? Why can't the Baal Chayiv say, why should the Baal Chayiv not say that since there are later properties, we know that Halacha tells us that when there are later properties, we always, later buyers, we go after the later buyers rather than the earlier buyers. So explain the Rishonim, two ways of understanding. One is it could be that this property is an apoiteki. It was a apoiteki. It was designated that even though the seller has other properties that he sold after the property that we're speaking about, but this property was designated as an apoiteki. And since it was designated as an apoiteki, they're going to go after this property, even though there may be properties that were sold later. And that's one way to Rishonim explain this Gemara. The other way to Rishonim explain this Gemara is that we learned a sugya about the ikni, that when somebody obligates himself, that if he's not able to pay his debt, they could go after his property. Does it only mean properties that he has at that time, or properties that he gets after the obligation came into place, but he did not own at the time of the obligation? And we learned the sugya that you may not be able to obligate yourself on properties that you did not own at that time, because those are the ikni. Property, you could only obligate, it's a davar shelo oilam. You could only obligate yourself on something you have, not on something you don't have. And if we follow the opinion that properties that you don't have, you can't obligate, so this property that we're speaking about in our Gemara was owned by the seller at the time he became a Baal Chayiv. And that's why there was a mortgage placed on that property. The other properties that are in question, which indeed was sold by the Meicher later than this property, but since they weren't in the possession of the Meicher at the time he obligated himself, they can't become mortgaged. And that's why, even though it's not the last property that the Meicher sold, it is the property that is mortgaged that the Baal Chayiv goes after. Ask the Gemara, how is the story that we just learned passable? Ask the Gemara, what happens is when the debt is collected, we don't leave the shtar chayiv in the hands of the malva. They take it away from him and they rip it up. So since the shtar choy was ripped up, b'may had the tariff lay. How could he go and collect it again? We're worried that he's going to collect it twice. V'chi teima the loy karinu. And if we'll suggest that how Gemara is speaking about where the shtar was not ripped up, v'am Rav Nachman kol tirfa. Whenever Bezdin says that the malva could collect his from the loyva, the loy kisabei, that it isn't written in it, karina l'shtar the malva, we ripped it up. Laf tirfu is not usable. And the Rashbam here goes in to explain what was the system, what was the procedure for collecting. He says, if a malva comes and says that money is owed to me, so we call the loiva to the entire. And if the loiva refuses to show up, we put him at the cherim and we write a shtar tirfa, which says that the malva has a right to look for any properties that the loiva may own, or even if he doesn't have any property currently, any property that he might have sold to anybody after he became obligated to pay off this debt. When we write the shtar tirfa, we rip up the shtar choiv. When the malva identifies such property, wherever this property may be, he goes to the bezdan of the city where that property is, and with the shtar tirfa that he has. And at that point, the bezdan writes for him a shtar adrachta that gives him the right, that identifies this property that belongs to the malva or is under the control of the malva that the bal choiv could go after. And therefore, at that point, when we write the shtar drachta, we rip up the shtar tirfa. At that point, Bezdin evaluates the amount that this property is worth, that the malva wants to collect. And then we write a shtar shuma, that how much this property is worth, because we have to know how much the loiva is now off the hook because the malva collected. And when we write the shtar shuma, we rip up the shtar adrachta because we don't want more than one shtar to be outstanding at a time. And therefore the Gemara continues, kol adrachta like sibba karina l'tirfa. If in the shtar adrachta, it doesn't say that the tirfa was ripped up, lav adrachta, it's not considered a legitimate adrachta. Because shtar shuma, the shtar shuma that we just described, the like sibbe karina l'adrachta, where it doesn't say we ripped up the adrachta, lav shumahi. So, ask the Gemara, if the why are we worried that the bal choiv will collect from this property two times, as we said, where the lekeach tells the bal choiv, let me stay here, after the bal choiv went after this property, why? How could that happen? Don't we rip it up? Don't we rip up his shtar choiv? If we rip up his shtar choiv, he won't be able to come a second time based on this collusion that he has with the lekeach, because he wouldn't have a shtar choiv to come with. Answers the Gemara, loy tzricha, the din is being taught in a case, the ka'os mekoich avosei. He's taking the property not with a shtar malva. Indeed, if he were taking the property with a shtar malva, so the shtar malva is ripped up. So the concern that he may take the property based on the collusion with the lekeach a second time is not possible. But sometimes the way a person is able to take the property away from the lekeach is by bringing edim that this property belonged to his father, and the meicher took the property away from him illegitimately. And the concern that we mentioned a few moments ago now kicks in. He's going to take the property away from the lekeach. The lekeach is going to go after the meicher because he lost his property. Then the bal choiv is going to let the lekeach remain on the property, as we mentioned before. And then he'll do it again with the same procedure of bringing edim. He doesn't need a shtar malva because he's not claiming this based on a loan. He's claiming based because it belonged to my father. And then the lekeach will cheat and take again from the meicher from his lekuchas. And in order to avoid this type of a possibility, when the lekeach says that he lost the prop, lost the shtar, he only gets a replacement shtar that doesn't have a chra, that doesn't have a chrayis in it. Amalei Rav Achim Adifti L'Ravina, V'lamalei L'meim L'Bal Chayiv. Why is it necessarily to tell this kind of a situation, Shoifli B'hai Arav Eikamba, like that we learned, that the Lekeach tells the Bal Chayiv, let me remain in this properly, typically, why should we not just say simple, that if we have two documents, if we allow two documents, the Kiva the Nokatre story, if we allow for two documents, Taraf Ahada Taraf, he's going to go after two different he'll go after two different Lekuchas to get his property back. Why don't we just say that simple explanation? Why do we have to come up with this case? The Bal Chayiv will take away the property from him. He'll say, I lost the property to the Bal Chayiv. And then because he has two shtaris, he'll go after two lekuchas of the meicher. Answers the Gemara, we're not concerned for that. Im kain, if that's the concern, then nefisha lebeladinim, he's going to be going after many people, and that will not, and that will make a call. Everybody will hear that this is happening, and they'll realize that there's something very wrong happening here. Ask the Gemara, so v'lichtav lahay shtar me'alya, why don't we write a good shtar that we're taking away from the Lekeach, the way we're learning the Gemara, we're taking away from the Lekeach a very important strength, and that is that he has a shtar with a chrayis. We know that a shtar without a chrayis is so much weaker than a shtar with a chrayis. So says the Gemara, why take away that privilege from him? Lichtav lehi shtar malya. Let's write for the Lekeach a good shtar. We're worried, as we learned, that it may be abused. Lichtav tarv lemoicher. We'll write a receipt for the moicher. The kol shtar, the yofkan al arada, that will write any document that will be used to try to take from the moicher or from his lekuchis. Psulim avam. The first shtar that was written is good, and any other shtar should not be used to collect. Answers the Gemara. Amru Rabbana Kamei de Rapapi Varmalei Kamei de Ravashi. Zoy Samaris, the reason why this solution was not offered is because Ein Kaisin Shaiver. As we've learned in our Shiurim, there's a strong reason not to write these kind of documents. The reason not to write these kind of documents is because what it creates is now the person has to hold on to the document, and that Chazal saw as unfair. Amalahu, says the Gemara, Ba'alma Kaisvin Shaiver. So he says, it could well be that this Gemara is not a proof that throughout Halacha ain't Kaisvin Shaiver. It could well be that in other areas Halacha, Kaisvin Shaiver. Here, the reason why a shoiver is not considered a good piece of advice, we have to be concerned that the bal chayiv of the moicher is tar from the lekeach, will collect from the lekeach the property because he's owed money, and then the lekeach is going to collect from different lekuchas, as we learned. Because if there's more than one shtar, he'll go after more than one lekeach. And shoiver, even though we gave a shoiver, to whom do we give the shoiver? We gave the shoiver to the malva. The lekuchas don't have those shoivers to protect himself. Ask the Gemara, why is that a concern? Soif, lekuchas, when the lekeach that will cheat these lekuchas and go after more than one lekuch, there's more than one shtar on the debt. Lav amri darah hadri. Who would the lekuchas go back to? They're going to go back to the meicher. And if they're going to go back to the meicher, and the meicher has the shiver, that's how they'll be protected. When he'll be able to show that only one lekuach is responsible, not more than one. Answers the Gemara, correct. They're going to go back to the original person who has the shoiver. But what happens? Ad ha'kivachi, this lekeach, who went after more than one of the lekuchas of the meicher, where he only had a right to go after one, shamat v'achaperi, will take advantage until all of this takes place to eat the peiris of the properties that he was only entitled to one property and not two property, but he's going to eat the peiris, and until everything straightened out, he will take in peiris that he's not entitled to. Inami, another reason we need to be concerned, lekeach shaloi b'achrayis. The concern here is that the person that he's going after, the lekeach is going after the lekuchas, and he's going, because his property was taken away by the Baal Chayiv, he's going after lekuchas who bought property shaloi b'achrayis. And as we learn often, there are people that buy property shaloi b'achrayis. It's a risk that they take. But when somebody buys a property shaloi b'achrayis, and then the risk he took was a bad risk, and the property that he bought is taken away from him, he doesn't go back to the person from whom he bought it, because he knows he bought it shaloi b'achrayis, and he knows he has no recourse back to that person. So since it was taken away from him, and he has no recourse, he's going to think that he lost it, a bad business deal. But he shouldn't have lost it. What happened here was the lekeach did something very wrong because he had two shtaris, and therefore we have to protect it. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's the case, that we don't write a shoiver, shtar ava nami, why should we say that the loiver should not have to pay back when the malva doesn't have a shtar? Because we need to be concerned that maybe the malva lost the shtar. And after the loiver will pay back and be given a shoiver, he's going to go with that shtar that he really does have, that he really never lost. And he's going to take from the lekeach of the loiver, and that lekeach won't know that the debt was really repaid, because he's not the one that has the shoiver. The loiver has the shoiver. Why, says the Gemara, are all the concerns, the two examples that we just said, that he's going to eat the peiris in between, or that we maybe got property shloi b'achrayis, why in such a case aren't we concerned? Answers the Gemara, Hasam, why the case of a halva, we're not concerned that the lekuchas will give the property up without first checking that it should be given up. The Zuzi Masik, he wants money, Vamra, and he'll say, he's saying that I'm owed money. He'll say, they're always going to think that maybe the loiver paid him up. In the case of a sale of a property, the aramasik, what did the lekeach lose? He lost property. Mediyadi, and it's well known, says the Gemara, the man, the masakar, somebody who wants property, somebody who lost property, doesn't want cash. He wants back property. And therefore, he's going to go after these people, and after two people, when he had a right only to go after one person, and that's why we have to protect ourselves. Amamar, so the Braisa says that we started the shiur with today, that if somebody says he lost a shtar, it was a shtar mekach, we'll rewrite it, chutz menachray shabai. But as we just finished explaining at length, without that part. Ask the Gemara, hechi kasfinan, how was a shtar written without a chrayis? Amar Rav Nachman the Kosov, the shtar denan, this shtar, the loy lemigvi bay, was not written with the ability to, was not written with the ability that you could collect with the shtar. Loy lememshavdi v'loy b'necharim, not, it can't be used for collection purposes. The only thing it could be done, this goes back to something we mentioned earlier in the shiur, it's only kehecha to take an arab yodid lekeach. It's only there that the person who bought it should have proof of ownership. Amar of Afram, Zaysim has achrayis, that if there's no achrayis written the shtar, tosoifu. We had many times in Shas that if there's a document that doesn't have achrayis in it, how does the halacha view that situation? So says the Gemara that from here we see that Achrayus, if it's missing, must have been a mistake. The Tama, because what do we see here? That the only reason that there is no Achrayus, because the Kosov Lehochi, it says explicitly in the Shtar that there is no Achrayus attached to this transaction. Haloi Kosov Lehochi, if there weren't such a clause, Govi, you would be able to collect from Lekuchas, even though it doesn't say it in it. But says the Gemara of Asher Achrayus Lav Tayv Sofer, just because Achrayus is missing, we don't attribute it to being a mistake. It could, if it's not there, it's not there. So why does it have to say that there's no Achrayus? If there's no Achrayus in the Shtar, it's automatically excluded. Says the Gemara, exactly, that's what Ravashi is going to say the Shtar looks like. My, what is the definition when we say that when we rewrite the Shtar, we do it mechutz mechrayus shaboy? It means the Lord Kosba Achrayus. Achrayus is not written in. And once Achrayus is not written in, you can't go after it as if there is Achrayus. Says the Gemara Yitah, so there was a woman, the Yavle Zuzalo Gavro, that gave money to an individual, the Mizman La'ara, to buy property on her behalf. Also, Zovin Shloib Achrayus. So he went and he bought property. Also, Zovin Shloib Achrayus. He went and bought it without Achrayus. There's the way the Rimigash learns that the buyer explicitly know that he said, I'm willing to buy this property, Shloi Bachrayis. Because otherwise, if we hold a Chrayis Tar Sofer, if less it's clearly spelled out that this transaction is Shloi Bachrayis, as we're learning, if you say a Chrayis Tar Sofer, then it's there automatically. So it must be, says the Rimigash, that he explicitly agreed that he's buying this property, Shloi Bachrayis. And in fact, there's some Mefarshim explain that that's the whole reason why this story is being brought in the Gemara. The story is being brought in the Gemara to teach us the halacha is Achrayus Tar Sofer. And unless it's explicitly mentioned that it's being done Shloi Bachrayis, the deal, it is Bachrayis. So again, the Yavol Azizel HaGavri L'mizman L'ara, Ozen Zovin Shloi Bachrayis, as we said, it was explicitly understood. Asla Kamei, Rav Nachman, and now, when this woman became aware of what happened, she brought this shliach to a dentor Rav Nachman, claiming Amalei, and saying, "How did I didn't want you to buy property Shloi Bachrayis?" Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to the shliach, "What this woman is claiming is correct, because she is claiming I appointed you to be a shliach l'tkuni shadaticha v'loy la'afsi. I sent you to be my shliach." To do something for my benefit, to buy a property without a chrayus, that is unacceptable. So Rav Nachman said what you did was incorrect, and therefore he said what you need to do is zil zavne miloy shloi b'chrayus. You indeed take ownership of the property of the shloi b'chrayus v'hav de zivne lo, because that's the deal you had with the seller, and now you have to sell it to her, Bechrayis, that if somebody's going to take it from her, you will be held responsible. So the Rimigash explains that the Gemara is speaking about a case where the seller could have agreed to sell it Bechrayis. But if the Meicher said explicitly, I'm only willing to sell this property, Shloi Bechrayis, so then, says the Rimagash, the shliach to say to the mishaleach, the seller was only willing to sell this property, shloi b'chrayis. If you're willing to accept it that way, great. But if you're not willing to accept it that way, take back your money, and I'm going to keep the property the way it is, and we can't force the meicher or the shliach to sell it Bachrayis. The Ravid says that this halacha that we're learning doesn't apply. This halacha applies by any shliach that abuses his power as a shliach. And if the shliach could have done the deal in a better way, more beneficial for the mishaleach, and he didn't, then the halacha is that he has to carry that burden. The Rishonim say that this Gemara is only dealing in a situation where when the shliach bought the property, he did not tell the person whom he bought the property that he's buying it on behalf of somebody else. But if he was very clear that he's buying this property on behalf of somebody else, says those Rishonim, that this shliach can now go back to the person and sell it to him and say, you knew I'm not buying this on my own behalf. You knew I'm buying it on behalf of somebody else. And that somebody else is saying that they're now willing to take this property, shloi b'achrayis, and he could void the entire deal. The Kesa Mishnah says that we not like that. And he says that if the Mishaleach says, I'm just not interested in this whole deal, that he can't do. At that point, the Mishaleach who sent him has to be willing to take the property. Yes, he has a right. Yes, he has a right to claim that I want a chrayis. Otherwise, I would have never agreed to the deal. But if there's a way for him to get a chrayis, whether as we're learning from the original Meicher or from the Shliach, now then he has to take the deal. The Smas says that this entire din also was only in a situation where the Shliach used the money of the Mishaleach. But if the Shliach did not use the money of the Mishaleach, so then even though he did buy it on behalf of the shliach, it didn't mean that it's really a hard deal, because since it wasn't her money, it was his own money. There, this din that he could say that she could make the strong claim of tagunish adich v'loy la'afsi falls away. The pasuk says that when Yosef in Mitzrayim, the yikin Yosef was called Advis Mitzrayim. Leparoi, kimach mitzrayim ish adeyu, v'tia aris leparoi. So the Sefer Kvodesh al Torah asks, why does the pasuk have to say kimach mitzrayim ish adeyu? Of course, everybody sold their own property. Why is the pasuk saying that everybody sold their own property? So he explains that maybe the people who sold the property could claim that the deal is an illegitimate deal. They sold the property for much less than it's worth because they said we were desperate. We had no food. And therefore, we didn't get it for the right price. We learned many times that the halacha is ein ono l'kakos. And when somebody says that he didn't get the right price, you can't say that. We don't say that by property. The halacha is that when do we say ain't a nolika kos? Then we say ain't a nolika kos if I sold my property. But if my property was sold by a shliach, we have the concept of our Gemara. The Gemara says that l'tkunish atich v'lo lafsi. If you sold the property and didn't get the right price, then the deal is off. For this, therefore, the pasuk says k'machru mitzrayim isadeyu. Everybody sold their own property. And since everybody sold their own property, then they can't claim that they were cheated, that they were paid too little. Therefore the deal is a deal. And that's why the pasuk says that Yosef was the true owner of those properties. Why was Yosef the true owner of the properties? Because kimachru Mitzrayim, everybody in Mitzrayim themselves sold their property. David Nachal quotes a medrash. The Medrash says, "Ba'is Yishar, Hera, at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Oitzim Sematan Tzchorim Shal Tzadikim, all of the warehouses of reward for Tzadikim. Kol Echad Ve'echad L'fi Ma'isav. Everybody's going to get a warehouse of reward according to the way he behaved. V'hu Shoyal, and Moshe asks, V'hai Oitzazel Shemihu, who's this warehouse for? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shabalai Torah, Who's this Shomach Abdeyem? People who gave honor to Talmid Chachamim. And then he sees an incredible warehouse. And he asks us, Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is this? Who owns this warehouse? Zok Gemashna, Amaloi Mishi Eshloi Maisim Toivim, Ani Noslein Bescharoi. Somebody who acted appropriately will get reward. Misha Enaloi, if somebody who doesn't act appropriately, Chinam Ani Noisen, I will give him reward for Noislein Bezeh. So it's so hard to understand. We're so hard to understand that a person who didn't do anything, didn't learn Torah, didn't show kavod haTorah, is going to get reward anyway. So he quotes the Chayvos Halvavos, that we could see that a person will come to the Olam HaEmes and will get incredible reward, even though he didn't do any mitzvah. Because if somebody says bad about a person, that person who was spoken about will get that person's mitzvahs. And then what's going to happen? That person has tremendous amount of schar. But it's not real schar, because it's not schar for what he really did. It's only he got it because somebody spoke badly about him. And that person, says the Avi Nachal, even though he has a tremendous amount of schar, will be told, "Litkunish adatich of loylavsi, you didn't really do what you were supposed to do. You got the schar in a backhanded way." Says the Medrash, "Mi she'ain loy mishaloi, somebody doesn't have any schar for the mitzvahs that he did himself. Chinam ani oisa, it's not the same, but he deserves. He'll get the schar anyway." Rishim Gamaliel Oimer, we learned earlier in Amud Aleph. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Hanois matan al chaveri." If somebody gave somebody else a gift, and then v'hichsalay sestar, and then the person who received the gift gives it back, chazem matanosoy v'chamar matanos makayemus. Ask the Gemara, "My tamed Rav Shimon Gamliel," and the Gemara's question is, "There's no kinyan here." Answers the Gemara, "Amara v'ami nasik oimel esodazon nesunaloch kozman sestar biyotcha." The way that Halacha views this entire situation is, when I got the soda field as a gift, it was given to me with a stipulation: as long as I have the shtar, it's mine. And when the shtar is no longer mine by me, because I give it back to the person who gave it to me, the field goes back to him. Says the Mara Maskla Rava, if that's the way the Halacha views it, if the only time I have the field is if I have the shtar, so what will be the halacha if I lose the shtar? The same halacha should be that it's not mine anymore, according to this explanation. Ela Maraba, how do we understand the machloikus of the Tanakhama of Shimon Gamliel? But Oisius Niklas from Masir Kamilki, if just giving back a shtar without a formal kinyan is adequate to affect a kinyan. Shimon Gamliel saw the Oisius Niklas from Masira, just giving back the shtar is enough. Rabbanan Savri, ain't Oisius Niklas from Masira, you have to have a formal kinyan. Just giving back the shtar is inadequate.